Welcome to the 4th of July episode of Victims of Fun, the Season 5, Episode 9. It is the 4th of July, Independence Day, in the greatest country on earth, the United States of America. Welcome, everybody. I hope everybody enjoyed their barbecue and their burgers. Not pulled pork, though. Pulled pork is not something you should be having on 4th of July. 4th of July is for hamburgers, cheeseburgers, hot dogs, baked beans, corn on a cob, beer, NASCAR, stuff like that. Not pulled pork, not vegan crap. That's pure communism right there. No. 4th of July is burgers and stuff like that. But welcome to Victims of Fun. I'm your host, El Stevo. You are listening to Victims of Fun on Anchor, Spotify, iHeart, or Pandora. And you're listening to Victims of Fun as it was created on Anchor FM on a Apple MacBook Air M1 using GarageBand with a blue Snowball microphone stored on a Seagate SSD drive. And if you want to mail me your hate or your love, you can mail me at victimsoffun@mail.com. Now, I read everybody's mail. Don't really get much, but, you should be doing that. You should be emailing me. And remember, you can always click the sponsor button and sponsor me. Throw me some money, because I need the money. So, it's the 4th of July, and 4th of July is American Independence, when we threw off the tyrannical yoke of the British Empire and told the king that he could kiss our collective American nuts. And American Revolution was not won with words or diplomacy or nicety or standing around singing kumbaya and celebrating everybody's differences. The American Revolution was won because we killed our enemies. We shot the British, we shot the Hessians, we shot their Indian allies, we piled them all up like cordwood, and that's how we won our independence. So anybody that tells you that our independence was won through talking or diplomacy is a communist. Doesn't know what the hell they're talking about, because we won it with guns and with massive amounts of violence and killing and blood. Because when you want to throw off the yoke of a tyrannical government, you don't talk to them. You shoot them until they're dead. That's how you deal with oppressive, tyrannical regimes. No matter where they are. Even if they tell you that you have to have F-16s and nuclear weapons to beat them, doesn't matter. Okay? Doesn't matter. So we're celebrating American independence, and, a lot of things happened after the American independence. We went from drinking tea to drinking coffee. We went from drinking wine to drinking beer. And, we went from, being nice and diplomatic with the Native American tribes to, just shooting them. And stealing their land. Of course, that's not really a good thing, but, these things happen. I had nothing to do with it. My family was still living in Italy. So, blame, who are those people? Are the Daughters of the American Revolution or the Mayflower Associates? Those people who are descended from the original colonists? Blame them. They did it. Not me. See, that's what gets me about this whole thing of, people, certain segments of the population blaming other segments of the population for genocide and slavery and everything else. And you gotta remember, most of the people in this country, their families weren't here back then. There's only a very few people in this country that can trace their lineage back to the original settlers or the original colonists. They're the ones to blame. My family didn't come over here until, around 1912. So you cannot hold me responsible for any of the horrible things that went on before 1912, because that had nothing to do with it. You know, my family wasn't killing Indians. My family wasn't owning any slaves. I mean, if anything, a lot of the immigrants who came over in the beginning of the 20th century or the end of the 19th century were, you know, just as bad off. I mean, you listen to some of the horror stories about the German or Irish or Italian settlers who came to America. They lived in what's called now the ghettos. They're the ones who were oppressed. They were the ones who were racially abused and everything else. It was, you know, it was them. They were that segment of the population. And so, you know, I had nothing to do with anything that went on before that. And, you know, we lived in New Jersey, so which was a free state anyway. So you try to get reparation money from me, you're going to have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. Because, tell you honest God truth, if you want to get money from anybody in this country for reparations, you should be getting it from the people who are actually running the slave trade. You know, the ones who actually own the slave ships and the ones who actually set up the whole thing, why don't you go after them? You know, but can't do that. Not allowed. So, you know, take your reparations and shove it, basically. Because I ain't paying you nothing. You should be paying me. Because I provide quality entertainment and you people aren't paying me anything. You see, on the 4th of July, I saw a lot of stuff from people I know on Instagram and Facebook, and most of them are posting there, oh, you know, American independence, yay, you know, just remember how it's the greatest country in the world and stuff like that. It's great. But some of my friends were, we shouldn't be celebrating the 4th of July because America was founded on systematic racism and hatred, and American society is racist and oppressive. Man, you can kiss my Italian ass. No, seriously. Let me tell you something. I've lived in many, many countries in this world. And a lot of the countries I lived in weren't exactly what you call beacons of freedom. Alright? And I've seen how minorities are really oppressed. Like, really. Like, people here think we have oppression of certain segments of the population. I'm not just talking black people. I'm talking other segments. Because there's more than just them that are claiming they're oppressed. But I've lived in countries where they have racial minorities that are not allowed to own homes, that are not allowed to work in certain industries, that aren't allowed to do a lot of things that you know, are forcibly sterilized. I'm talking real oppression. Not none of this bullshit, fake, woke oppression where you come out protesting against oppression and you go back to your house with your iPhone and getting your Tesla and everything. Oh, that's not oppression. So I see some of the people I know posting on Instagram and Facebook saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't celebrate 4th of July, systematic racism and everything else. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you, in this country, you have a choice whether or not you want to celebrate the 4th of July or not. Nobody's forcing you to respect the flag. Nobody's forcing you to love this country. It's in poor taste. I think it's wrong. But it's not illegal. Try going to North Korea, or Russia, or Saudi Arabia, or a lot of other countries that don't have the freedoms we have here, and try saying, the flag of this country is terrible, and nobody should be saluting it. Our national holiday should not be celebrated because it's racist. Try saying that in North Korea. Try saying that in Saudi Arabia. Try saying that in dozens of other countries. You're going to end up in jail, or you're going to end up shot. Here in the United States, you'll get made fun of, people get angry at you, but there's no law that says that you have to feel patriotic, that you have to respect the flag, that you have to love this country. There's no law. But you don't need to be telling other people that they shouldn't feel one way. Because everybody's has the right to feel how they want. Now, see, here's the thing. I love this country. I've lived in other countries. If I had my choice, I might not be living in this country because I kind of like other countries more, not for their political system or anything, but just the weather, the location, the exoticness, you know, whatever. I'm still an American. I'm never going to give my citizenship up. I'll still salute the flag and everything else. But see, that's a great thing about being an American. You have your freedom to do that. I think disrespecting the flag is wrong. I personally feel that if you don't like America, you should get the hell out. I personally feel that America is not a racist country overall. I feel we're not actually oppressing anybody in this country. But I'm not going to deny you your right to feel the opposite of me. I'm not going to make a law preventing you from feeling that way. I'm not going to try to cancel you or get you fired from your job or dox you and have protesters show up at your house or harass you or anything like that. But the people on the other side, that's what they do. So if you, because I read something on the news, now it's the New York Times or somebody said that it's very uncomfortable to see all these American flags, and that if you have an American flag on your pickup truck or hanging from your house, there's a very good chance you're a white supremacist or a nationalist or something like that. It's like, you know, like the New York Times doesn't have enough problems as it is, losing money hand over fist. But if you want to display the flag, and you want to put your flag on your truck or your car or your dog or tattoo it on your back or whatever, knock yourself out. If you don't, I don't care. If you want to ride around with the Black Lives Matter or Pride flag on the back of your truck or car or in front of your house, I don't care. Go for it. But if you're going to run around displaying your Pride flag or your Black Lives Matter flag or whatever, don't tell me I can't fly mine. That I'm racist, because I am. Because I will defend your right to fly that flag, even if I don't agree with your lifestyle or your political beliefs. I'll defend your right to fly that flag against people who say you don't have the right to do it. But yet it seems more and more that I'm not given the same respect back. And that a lot of people in this country are not given the same respect back. That one side believes in something and believes that the other side is wrong, but will not try to take that right away from them for feeling that way. Where the other side believes that they are right and the other side needs to be silenced over it. See, that's the big difference. You know, you can be pro-life, but be pro-abortion at the same time. And let me tell you how that works. So, I personally believe abortion is murder. I think it's a sin. I think it's against God. I think life begins the moment of conception. That being said, if you want to have an abortion, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to try to create a political movement to ban you from having it. I'm not going to try to block your way to the abortion clinic. I'm not going to look down on you socially or disqualify you as a possible romantic partner because of it. I think it's a sin. I think that you'll have to answer to God eventually over it. But it's God's job to handle that stuff, not mine. I'm not God. Far from it. So while I believe it's a sin and it's murder, if you want to do it, go ahead. Now, then people are going to say, well then, if I want to shoot an adult and kill them, What's the difference? Well, there's a big difference, okay? There's a very big difference for that because you are killing somebody else that is not a part of your body. When you have abortion, you are killing a part of yourself. Okay? And here's the thing too, women die in childbirth. There are medical conditions that make it impossible for a woman to have a child because it'll kill her if she goes through with it. And what are we supposed to do? Just let them die? What if they determine the fetus, the child, it won't survive or will come out horribly disfigured with a lifetime of painful ailments? What are we supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Now, you crack open the Bible and God's always smiting people, including children. So, what's the story there? The whole LGBTQ ABC 123 thing, whatever. I have gay friends. Most of them are lesbians. And I don't understand their lifestyle. I don't see what the attraction is to the same sex. I don't get it. I think it's weird. I think it's a bit gross. But you know what? It doesn't affect my life, so I don't really care. If you want to be gay or you want to be a lesbian and you want to do your gay or lesbian thing, I really don't give a damn. I will not judge you or disqualify you from being my friend because of it. I'm not going to say you're a bad person or condemn you to hell over it. I don't understand the lifestyle. I don't see the attraction. I don't get it. I don't want to get it. But you're not less of a person in my eyes over it. I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to accept it. Maybe I don't want to teach that lifestyle to my children until they're like adults and can make up their own minds. But at the same time, these gay rights activists that are forcing people to accept a lifestyle they may not want to accept is wrong. That's not how tolerance works. If you have to have tolerance at the point of a gun, it is not tolerance any longer, it is oppression. So the very people screaming about oppression are actually oppressing others because they're holding a gun to people's heads, ordering them to be tolerant. That's oppression. It is. I mean, this whole thing with critical race theory, where they're teaching children that the color of your skin indicates whether you're a racist or not. But they've done experiments where children who are never told the concept of racism or race that are raised together never become racist. They don't. Little children don't see that in others. They may notice eventually that you're darker than me, or I'm lighter than you, but that's pretty much the extent of it. That's all they're going to notice. And they may be curious about it. They may make little jokes over it, like, oh, you're chocolate ice cream and I'm vanilla ice cream. We used to do that when I was a kid. But they have no racial hatred or concept that anybody's any different because, well, they're not. But little kids don't realize that. They're just, oh, okay, whatever, you're darker than me, who cares? It's when society, whether it be their parents or their friends or their school teachers now telling them, well, you're white, so you automatically, like say you have a white boy named Fred and a black boy named Darren. And Darren and Fred grow up in an orphanage together and racism is never explained to them, and they're friends, and they notice one is darker than the other, but they don't care. That's about the extent of it. And they grow up, and they're not racist. Until you put Darren and Fred in a school system, and this teacher takes Fred aside and says, "You're racist because you're white," and takes Darren aside and says, "You are oppressed because you're black, and you're oppressed by Fred." And Darren's gonna be like, Fred's never oppressed me. He's my friend. well, no, no, he's white, so he oppresses you. And then Fred's going to be like, I like Darren. I don't care if he's a different color than me. Well, no, you hate black people because you're white. You're born racist. You see, that's the problem. That's critical race theory. And nobody... It was created to divide us because the people who are running everything in this world, the banking system, the media, Hollywood, they need to keep the rest of the world divided and at each other's throats, because the minute we're not and we realize who's really behind all of the problems of the world, those people won't survive more than a month before we hunt them all down and kill them. Because they're the ones doing it. Okay? They are the ones that are enjoying the chaos and the anarchy and the hatred. They're keeping us divided. There is nothing that scares people like that more than people who are different colors, different religions, different gender beliefs, whatever sexual preferences. It's nothing more dangerous than all those people realizing, hey, we're all brothers and sisters, and those are the ones that are keeping us divided. Let's get them. That's what they're scared of. Because we outnumber them 99.99% to 0.01%. The problem is, because they control pretty much everything that's talked about or said, or every financial transaction or anything to do with anything on the planet, they can manipulate people into hating each other. They're very good at psyops, it's called. And it's a shame what this world has come to. I feel like we're living at the end of the Roman Empire, you know, when it fell. But hopefully it'll be a different outcome this time. Yeah. I said I wasn't going to get political on any of these podcasts, but, you know, I'm starting to, because I just see so much stuff happening. I'm getting really angry over it. Nobody's talking about it, and people need to start talking about it, okay? Remember, the person right now that is sitting next to you is your brother, is your sister, is your comrade in arms. And you have more in common with people than you realize. Whether you're black or white, Christian or Muslim, gay or straight, or something in between, you're still all the same. Because the minute you cut each other, our blood is the same color. Same color. Red. We breathe the same air. We all need water to survive. We all need food to survive. We all love our children. We have more in common than we do. There are more things that unite us than separate us. The problem is we've been manipulated into concentrating on the things that divide us, because the people who would benefit the most from us dividing us are the ones doing it. And the people who would suffer the most if we're united are desperately afraid of us uniting. Desperately afraid of it. So we're going to take a little break, and hopefully we'll come back. I'm going to review the movie The Tomorrow War. Be right back. And welcome back to Victims of Fun. I am your host, El Stevo. And, you know, we got that tropical storm headed this way in Florida, Tropical Storm Elsa. And it's been dumping tons of rain on Florida. It's just, like, horrifying. And the tropical storm is supposed to hit tomorrow. It'll be here until, like, Tuesday night. And it's supposed to rain all week. And, you know, the beach is kind of washed out. I can't go to the beach because it's raining. So, yeah, I've been pretty much just writing, going to the gym, and watching a lot of movies online. And I saw a movie online the other day, a Netflix movie that I didn't even know was coming out. It's called The Tomorrow War with Chris Pratt. and it's about a alien invasion, and I decided to, oh, okay, this looks pretty good. I like Chris Pratt. He always delivers the goods. And so I watched it, and it was actually quite good. So basically, long story short, is Chris Pratt's a former Navy SEAL who's now in private life. He's got a wife and a kid and a father he doesn't talk to anymore. And, you know, he's trying to, he went to Caltech, and he's a research guy. You know, he does scientific work now that he's not a SEAL anymore. I guess he used the, GI Bill to go to college or something? But anyway, so he's some sort of scientist now. He's teaching biology at high school. He's got a wife and a kid. Like I said, he's estranged from his father. And it's Christmas, and there it takes place in 2022. It takes place next year. And so there's a big Christmas party, and they're all sitting there, and the World Cup is on. The World Cup that's going to be played in Qatar. And so the family's watching it, and in the middle of the soccer field, it's a game between Brazil and I think somebody else. And there's a big ball of light and explosion of light and some sort of temporal rift, and a whole bunch of soldiers come out and announce that they are humans from approximately 30-something years in the future, and that Earth has been invaded and almost overrun by an alien species that they cannot defeat, and that the human race is down to about 500,000 people total, and they have come back in time in order to get assistance from what would be their grandparents and parents, meaning people in their 30s and 40s today, to come to the future and help fight off the aliens. So after that soccer match, it's a year later, and the world, you know, I guess in that 12 months, they realize they're not kidding and everything. And so the world militaries unite and start sending their forces forward in time. And what happens is they go there on a 7-day deployment, because apparently the aliens are active for 6 days. On the 7th day, they're not. They're like animal aliens. They're called white spikes. They've got tentacles. They shoot spikes. They're like giant-looking lizard lion things. They're pretty ugly. And so they're active for 6 days, and on the 7th day, they retreat into their little hives and, I guess, recuperate. And that's when they bring in the new soldiers, and they send the old ones home because the aliens aren't active. So the problem is there's only a 5% survival rate of the military forces who go and come back. And the ones that come back are suffering from massive post-traumatic stress disorder. From fighting the aliens, because of how graphically horrible and everything that's going on. A lot of them are coming back missing limbs and everything. And the world military starts running out of soldiers and doesn't want to send any more because they don't want to deplete their stocks of soldiers. So they start drafting civilians. Because what the people in the future explain is that we don't need organized, train, parade ground stomping, you know, military types. We need people with guns. And in the 7 days and in the time leading up to when you're going to be deployed, we'll teach you how to use your weapons. And then basically you're going to come to the future, and for 7 days you're going to go with the troops that we do have and basically, I guess, act as cannon fodder or just try to kill as many aliens as you can. And there's this big hush-hush thing of why certain people qualify to go and some don't. And people start pointing out that there's a lot of healthy people who are not being drafted, but there's a lot of older people being drafted, a lot of people who are overweight, a lot of people who have medical conditions that are being drafted and going. And why are these people being drafted and not, you know, people who didn't go in the military but, like, you know, MMA fighters or football players or athletes or, you know, people who could, you know, deal with the running around with a gun thing. Well, it turns out that the only people who can go are people who died before the alien invasion actually happened. That's why that only certain members of militaries were deemed to go, because these were all soldiers that died of one thing or another in the preceding 30 years before the aliens invaded. And Chris Pratt ends up getting drafted. And he realizes, you know, what this means, I die sometime before the aliens show up, you know. And they draft him, and they draft another guy, an African-American guy, overweight, who's basically a chemist or something. And their initial plan is, okay, this group of people, Chris Pratt and the people that were drafted with him, they're research guys. And their little group, their platoon, is going to go, instead of in combat, they're going to go to the last remaining research station on Earth to try to help develop a biological weapon to kill the aliens. So that he's kind of relieved. He's like, well, okay, at least I'm not going into combat. And they're like, no, but you need to know how to handle a gun just in case. So they figure out, Chris Pratt figures out, you know, I'm going to be dead before the aliens invade, and, you know what the hell is going on here? And they meet a guy who's on his third deployment. He's gone back 3 times, and it turns out he's got terminal prostate cancer, and he's only got 6 months to live, which is why he keeps going back, because he wants to die on the battlefield and not die in a hospital bed with chemo and everything else. And you know, I remember that from my father, and it's not a good way to go. I'd rather go out in the battlefield. So they jump, but while they're jumping, something happens and they don't end up at the research station. They end up in Miami, which is off the research station area is off the coast of Miami, kind of like 20 miles off the coast. They end up in Miami, and they have to extract some stuff from a lab in Miami at that point, and they're going to be airlifted to the research station. So it was a big battle scene, and a lot of people get killed, and you see the aliens, and they're gross. And it's a beautiful-looking shot movie. And it turns out the commanding officer of the entire platoon is Chris Pratt's grown-up daughter. And she specifically had him drafted because for some reason they have radios that function that can call people 30 years in the past. They can do that. They can communicate with them. I don't know, they never explain how that works. And that's kind of a MacGuffin, basically. But whatever. So, So he meets his daughter. His daughter doesn't want to talk about... She's very cold and distant to him. And just some stuff happens. And then the rest of the movie is them fighting the aliens. And it's cool. There's a scene before he goes off to fight that him and his wife... You know, when you get drafted, they put this thing on your arm that tracks your biological signs. Because at the end of 7 days, if the device in your arm detects you're still alive, it automatically jumps you home. But it's also a tracking device to keep people from running, you know, on Earth before they get drafted. And so Chris Pratt wants this thing off his arm because he doesn't want to get drafted. So he goes to see his estranged father, who he hasn't talked to in God knows how many years, and who keeps sending Christmas cards to the daughter, and Chris Pratt keeps ripping it up. And his father is played by J.K. Simmons, you know, you know him for, he's J. Joe Jameson from Spider-Man. And let me tell you, he's 68 years old, and he's ripped. I mean, this guy is just, and he's in a tank top, and he's got muscles where men 68 years old should not have them. He's bald with this huge white beard, and he looks just beyond badass. I mean, I know a 23-year-old girl who's into really, really, really into really older guys, and I swear to God, if she goes and sees this movie, she's going to get pregnant just watching this, okay? That's how much of a weirdo she is. But, so, they have a moment, and, you know, why they're estranged, and J.K. Simmons explains it, you know. Has a lot of the movie has to do with post-traumatic stress disorder. Like, there's a lot of that going around in this film, and it's actually portrayed, you can't really portray that thing in a positive way, but the way they handle it and treat it and talk about it, it's in a very, you know, it's in a very realistic, positive way that hopefully will help people who suffer from that. But anyway, so long story short, a lot of people get killed and they develop a virus. His daughter in the future develops a virus that should wipe out the aliens. And the plan is to take the virus to the past and go to where the aliens first show up and kill them before they can overrun the Earth. And I'm not going to get into anything else in the movie because I don't want to spoil it for you. But that's the basic premise of it. And I kind of like that. Usually these type of movies, you know, like Edge of Tomorrow or something, you would expect them to fight the aliens in the future, defeat them, you know, Chris Pratt reunites with the daughter in the future, oh, now everything's going to be great, Dad, you save the future, and, oh, now I'm going to go back and save the past, or, you know, some sort of thing. But the fact that they didn't end it in the future, that they ended in the past, is really good, and, you know, I don't want to spoil too much, but Chris Pratt and his father finally reconcile, and when they do, the two of them turn into, like, the most incredible killing combination. Like, if you've ever played Call of Duty, and you have a friend, and you two just click, and you can both take your weapons and mow down the opposition, whether you're outnumbered 50-1, as long as he's next to you, you're both coming through this. That is what happens with Chris Pratt and J.K. Simmons at the end. Because the father was a Vietnam vet and everything, and when they finally reconcile, they just go on this alien murder. You almost feel bad for the aliens because Chris Pratt and J.K. Simmons are just literally just going doom guy to 1,000 on these things. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything. J.K. Simmons makes it through the movie. A lot of times they would kill the father off. He's going to make a sacrifice or anything. But no, because he's so badass, he can't be killed. And they literally just genocide, like, anything that's not human. These two are killing in the most horrific ways. I mean, Chris Pratt kills one of these things. And this thing is, like, the size of almost of a rhino. And Chris Pratt kills it with his bare hands. And J.K. Simmons is just, like, sniping them from 3 miles away. It's brutal. The last battle of the movie is just Chris Pratt and J.K. Simmons just basically blitzkrieging their way through these aliens like it's the Wehrmacht and hitting the Maginot Line. And, you know, it's brutal. But it's a very good movie. It's streaming from Netflix. I think it's Netflix. I don't know. I watch it at a different site. Let's not talk about that. But it's called The Tomorrow War. And it's Chris Pratt and J.K. Simmons and a whole bunch of other people. It's a very, very, it's a very good movie. It's also Edward Hodge is in it. If you ever watched the Purge movies, he's in the first three. He's the only one that's in the first three of the Purge movies. And Sam Richardson's in it. He was in Veep. Have you ever watched Veep with what's her name? Julie Louise Dreyfus or whatever the hell her name is. He was in Veep. And it's a great movie. It's a really good movie. And yeah, watch it. Okay. Oh, and Mike Mitchell's in it. And if you ever watch The Birthday Boys, I don't know if you ever their sketch comedy group, and he's the co-host of the podcast Doughboys. They review chain restaurants, and it's a very good podcast. You should give it a try. It's called Doughboys. But he's in it too. He's the token overweight guy. It's called The Tomorrow War. It's really good. What I like about it, there's no one of the reasons I like this movie, other than the fact, you know, it's got aliens and it's kind of adventurous and science fiction and it's a lot of action and it's a pretty original premise and Chris Pratt's good. But one of the other reasons I like it is it's not preachy. It does not have a political message at all. They don't blame anything on climate change or racism. There's, you know, it's a very diverse group of soldiers who are fighting and nobody makes a remark that, oh, you're black or you're white or you're gay. I mean, one of the soldiers is a lesbian. Nobody says anything about it. I mean, nobody cares, which is how it should be. And there's no nudity. There's no sexuality at all. It's gory, but it's alien gore. It's weird because a lot of times in these movies, you see the humans get all like ripped apart, but in this movie, the aliens are getting like ripped apart. There's a lot of alien gore, which is, you know, it's alien gore. So, you know, and, there's no nudity. There's no sexuality at all. I think he kisses his wife at the end and that's pretty much it. I mean, they drop a bunch of F-bombs because, you know, they're soldiers and, you know, this is what happens. But, you know, if you got a teenager, I mean, it's perfectly safe for them to watch it. And it's very, very family-oriented. I mean, Chris Pratt is, his character, you know, the people doing this, they make a big emphasis that these draftees are fighting to protect the children of the future. Because remember, everybody in the future are the children and grandchildren of the people who are drafted being sent to the future to fight. So in a normal movie, I would think of like a normal, usual Hollywood movie, all these civilians would be like running from the aliens cowardly. But in this movie, every single person that they draft, the old people, the sick people, whatever, they stand and fight. Not one of them run from the aliens because they emphasize in this film, even from a character who's got like three lines and then dies, they always say, I'm going to stand and fight because I'm protecting my children and my grandchildren. And it's very family-oriented when it comes to that. It shows you what people will do to protect their family, to protect their offspring. And, you know, the fact that the people of the world are fighting as one is incredible. But it's a very good movie. Check it out. It's called The Tomorrow War. So that's all the time we have for this week. I wish you all a happy 4th of July. Thank you again for listening and your continuing patronage of Victims of Fun. Remember, you can mail me at victimsoffun@mail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just do a search for Victims of Fun. And remember, you can always hit that support button and send me some money because I need it. Thank you very much. God bless. And I will see you next time on Victims of Fun. Hey, he's my friend. Well, no, he's white, so he oppresses you. And then Fred's going to be like, I like Darren. I don't care if he's a different color than me. Well, no, you hate black people because you're white. You're born racist. You see, that's the problem. That's critical race theory. And nobody... It was created to divide us because the people who are running everything in this world, the banking system, the media, Hollywood. They need to keep the rest of the world divided and at each other's throats, because the minute we're not, and we realize who's really behind all the problems of the world, those people won't survive more than a month before we hunt them all down and kill them. Because they're the ones doing it. Okay? They are the ones that are enjoying the chaos and the anarchy and the hatred. They're keeping us divided. There is nothing that scares people like that more than people who are different colors, different religions, different genders, different gender beliefs, whatever sexual preferences. It's nothing more dangerous than all those people realizing, hey, we're all brothers and sisters, and those are the ones that are keeping us divided. Let's get them. That's what they're scared of. Because we outnumber them 99.99% to 0.01%. The problem is, because they control pretty much everything that's talked about or said, or every financial transaction or anything to do with anything on the planet, they can manipulate people into hating each other. They're very good at psyops, it's called. And it's a shame what this world has come to. I feel like we're living at the end of the Roman Empire, you know, when it fell. But hopefully it'll be a different outcome this time. Yeah. I said I wasn't going to get political on any of these podcasts, but, you know, I'm starting to, because I just see so much stuff happening. I'm getting really angry over it, and nobody's talking about it, and people need to start talking about it, okay? Remember, the person right now that is sitting next to you is your brother, is your sister, is your comrade in arms. And you have more in common with people than you realize. Whether you're black or white, Christian or Muslim, gay or straight, or something in between, you're still all the same. Because the minute you cut each other, our blood is the same color. Same color. Red. We breathe the same air. We all need water to survive. We all need food to survive. We all love our children. We have more in common than we do. There are more things that unite us than separate us. The problem is we've been manipulated into concentrating on the things that divide us. Because the people who would benefit the most from us dividing us are the ones doing it. And the people who would suffer the most if we're united are desperately afraid of us uniting. Desperately afraid of it. So we're going to take a little break, and hopefully we'll come back. I'm going to review the movie The Tomorrow War. Be right back.